Welcome to This Is So Nerdy, a podcast where we talk about a mix of pop culture and online business. I'm Jess.
And I'm Amy. And while we may be hardworking business owners, we're also nerdy and love to fangirl over all the things we love.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Jess.
You're How are you? I'm good. But you're in the hot seat today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
We're like you don't know.
Like we didn't talk about it for 20 minutes before we got on.
No, it's fine. So you have had a lot of people ask about our businesses and us as people. Yes. And we mentioned it in our intro episode, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah. I guess the people want to know the nitty gritty.
Yeah. So I think they do. I think I get a lot of questions about like, okay, we love you talking about other people's brands, but like, how'd you decide on your stuff? And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. They want to know why we're here.
Yes. Okay. So my first question is, because this is me kind of like interview style. Yeah. I'm not doing a dissertation on the Amy Cole photography.
Are you going to break apart my website?
No, because I've done most of it. So.
So funny.
So when did you, like, did you grow up liking photography and doing photography, or was this something you picked up later?
Yeah. So it's kind of funny the way I've always been artsy. I've always been really creative. Obviously I'm a singer, I'm a trained singer. So I've always had this like really artsy thing that's been flowing through me. I took art in school. But as I was getting early 20s, I would guess, when my kids were first born, I picked up a camera that was given to me by Uncle Adam. And Uncle Adam is Josh's best friend, who is like his brother. And he left a camera at my house one afternoon. He was like, you know what? Keep it for a few weeks and just play with it. Take some pictures of the kids and see what happens. And I fell in love. Like, it was like I started seeing things differently than and things that I would see, and almost, I think I'm one of these people that like makes pictures in my head. I know that sounds so silly, but yeah. And so like, I would like see something and see a framing of something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I would know. And obviously that's much more like in focus now, you know, years later. But then I knew that something was happening when I would see that. And so that's kind of where my passion and my love developed for it, and why I actually kind of even developed the hobby. That's what it was at that point, was just a hobby of just taking pictures of my kids.
I love it. So even though I don't do photography anymore, I loved doing photography like growing up, and we had a county fair that I would enter. Like they had, yes, it was a lot of like showing pigs and like judging pies and whatever else, but they also had like photography that you could enter, and so I would like max out the amount of entries because
I love
to do that. And then when I got to high school, I did yearbook and loved. Then I got like a real kick, because before that it was just like a point and shoot, that's all I had. When I got into yearbook, I was like, I have a DSLR. Okay. But like when you were talking about the like seeing things like framing and whatever, I still do that.
Everything all the time.
Yes.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I see everything in triangles, because you don't know this about photography, everything is triangular. So like everything that you do, you want, you know, posings to be in triangles, hands, feet, arms, legs. And a lot of people don't know that about photography, and especially newbies that are learning. And so I look at things all the time and see it in triangle. People can be walking to the airport and I'm like, oh. Like it's just like random. And I think it's just, you know, when it's very natural to you, I think that you do that. I think you see those things in natural life. So
yeah,
I love, did you take pictures of pigs?
No. No, I would
have totally done that.
No. So I would take, cause it was basically, you could enter any photos you took in the last 365 days. Okay. So
that is very cool.
Yeah. So when I was younger, it was a lot of just like still life. Like I would go outside and like take pictures of flowers or
Oh, I did that.
I don't know.
Early on, I mean, when you're learning all those skill sets and you're trying to figure out, what aperture means. And I mean, I can tell everybody in a minute what that means, but like aperture, shutter speed, ISO, when you're trying to figure out those concepts, you're like taking pictures of anything that is there. A Coke can. Like I remember I would just practice all the time on just any object that was just would let me try to practice. So yeah, it's fun. I love that. You see pictures of flowers.
Just, here we go. Okay,
Just to be
so
clear, you do still use a camera. When I need you do step in. You do step in.
I've been asked to come back, so I guess I didn't do too bad of a job.
You did fantastic. So yes, you're coming back.
Okay, so that's how you picked it up. So when did Amy Cole Photography like come about? And maybe before that, where is the Amy Cole? Because it took me a while when we were first friends. I was like, "Hi, wait, your last name is Solens." So also
That is
explain that.
probably Okay, so we'll start there. That is probably the funniest thing about Amy Cole is that everybody thinks we're Amy and Josh Cole. Nobody, unless they know us personally, think they don't know the Sullins part. And so it's always comical when Josh is like, Josh Cole, right? And I'm like, no. So Amy Cole is Amy Nicole. So when I was growing up, I had been called Amy Cole pretty much my entire life. It was pretty much a double name for me. But it's funny, my sister, who passed away, a couple of years ago, she could not say Amy Cole. And so she called me Kiko. And so it always was just like this really special connection to that name. And so as I was, walking through the business and the model and the idea, I went through several names. And the thing that Josh and I always went back to, because we were in ministry, is we did not want to use our last name. We never wanted anyone to think that we were using our business at all for, any type of, we never wanted somebody to see that and think, oh, they're, in ministry that, they're trying to pull people in or whatever. We didn't want to do that. That's not our heart. So what we did is we chose Amy Cole so that it kind of separated the brand from the actual family, if that makes sense. So, and the story about Amy Cole coming to life, it's kind of a testimony story. Like I said, I'm a minister's wife. So there was this one day and I had applied to go back to school to be a nurse, which is hilarious now that I
I cannot picture you being a nurse.
when I sit here today, sometimes I get very tickled when I think about the fact that I had literally done all the work and I was just waiting for my approval to go back. And I sat beside my bed and I was like, Lord, you know what I'm supposed to do. And I don't. But I know I need to help provide for my family because, obviously Josh, like I said, is in ministry and we needed some extra income. But I also was trying to find something that would be really flexible to our schedules. And I knew in nursing, you can do like part-time or you can do flex schedules and things like that. So I sat beside my bed, I prayed, asked God. And when I got up from my prayer time, I had three voicemails on my phone of friends asking me to take pictures of their families. And it literally was the moment that it lit a fuse under me. I was like, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I looked at Josh when he got home from work and I was like, I've got to figure this out. I have to craft this skill to where I am able to make an income from this. And I'm telling you right now, the people that we were around at that season, when we lived in Alabama, they loved me well because I was not great. Those first 2 years, I was really learning the skill. I was practicing. I gave away, several free sessions just to, for people to, come and let me practice and try to shoot. And they did. They were so gracious to me. And funny enough, several of those families I still photograph today. I have shot weddings for those families that I first photographed for free as practice. Those families still today have sessions with me at least once a year. And so it's kind of funny. It's fun to watch how the families have grown, but also how my skill and my craft has grown. So that's how it started. I mean, it was just like an overnight flip of a switch. I'm a risk taker, so when I feel the urge to jump, I just jump. And that's the way it was. It was pretty wild.
So what year was that you started like that, so you got the voicemails and
yeah, 2010.
Wow,
which is crazy. We're coming up on 14 years. I'm like, what is this life? I mean, the shelf life of a we all know this. If you're in a creative space, shelf life for creative people is it's very short usually, mm-hmm. because a lot of us get burnt out really quickly. We get taken advantage of a lot. People that own small businesses, we get asked to do a lot of things like for free or for, you know, promotion or things like that. And so a lot of photographers especially get burnt out really quickly in this environment because they feel like they're doing a lot for a little. And mm-hmm. sometimes it doesn't end up paying, you know, the bills and the things that they need it to do. And so it's been a whirlwind to think that I've actually been able to sustain it. Have there been seasons of burnout where I thought it's done? Yeah. But here it is. I mean, and I pray every year and I ask God, you know, if this is what you want, if you want it to continue, I'll keep going. And until he says stop, I will keep going. So
yeah,
it's kind of tough.
Did you set up a website right away, or
did you?
You did? Most people don't.
I did. Well, social media 14 years ago was not prevalent in my business. I mean,
right.
When I first started, there was Facebook, and I created a Facebook page for my business. Every once in a while, like at least once a year, I'll scroll back to the very beginning of that Facebook page and just like it's so. Being a strategist now and, you know, having crafted that skill set too, I get very tickled. But the website, wowza. I remember the very first website. It had black chevron. There was no white space, Jess. It was all black and white chevron. Very thin. I had a friend of ours at the time make a logo for me. It was lime green and turquoise. Which is so not the Amy Cole anybody knows. It was never really me, but it was like I was trying to be fun and I was creative. So, and then the music played while a slideshow ran. And it was Colby Calais' Happy. And so when we're in stores sometimes and it comes on, I'm like, that's my first website.
I hear you, girl.
I literally, you know, I would hear it where I would get on and, you know, I would update stuff constantly because obviously my stuff was updating, you know, pretty regularly because I was trying to, you know, craft the skill. And so I would listen to that song over and over again. I think she sang it with Jason Mraz, I think is who duetted that with her.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I'm lucky to be lucky in a love. I can't even sing it right now. Like my brain's on. It was comical, Jess. Like, I think every website I've ever had until you started helping me was comical, though. So
no,
you're a pro.
No, because when I first found you and looked at your website, you weren't Squarespace already, and it looked good. You didn't have any chevron or lime green, so
no,
you're good.
Chevron or lime green. Chevron was so in style at that point in time. I mean, that was 2010, and it was like, wow, everybody loved it. And boy, did I at that moment. Because now I cringe. I'm like, oh, that was so bad. So website was started.
There you go. So I'm trying to think, like, okay, so you got your website. When do you remember... When is the first time that you felt like I've made it? Like, and not in term to clarify, this is not a like I've made it, I'm hot stuff type of question.
Yeah, I know what you're
saying. This is a like I'm doing this. We're doing this. Like, not just like, okay, I've done my first shoot, but like I can do this long term.
Yeah. You're gonna laugh at the answer to this because I told no one I was a wedding photographer if people met me and asked me what I did until we moved to Atlanta.
Stop.
And that was in 2017. So 2010 to 2017, when people would ask me what I did, I would say, I'm a stay-at-home mom and my husband's a minister. And I did not believe that I had accomplished. Now, I had already been 6 years. I started shooting weddings 1 year into my business. So 6 years I had already been shooting weddings, but not feeling like I had enough clout. I mean, this tells you a lot about the small business brain too. I mean, I think I'm a confident person. Like, I've always been a confident person, but I always felt like I was going to be judged for the profession I was in. Like someone was going to look at me and say, well, why are you doing that? Or photographers sometimes can be called, you know, like wannabes and and things like that. We get photographers get a lot of slack about those types of things. So I think I was always scared to like say it out loud, because if I said it out loud, it would make me own it in a way. Like, it would make me say I'm doing this. And I was doing, I mean, I'll be honest, I was full time. I mean, I was making a full time salary at that point, but I just could not say it. And so the first time that I actually ever said it was on a video we had to record for our new church in Peachtree Corners when we were on staff there. We were sitting on the couch, and the guy behind the camera that was the production director then, he looked at me, he goes, now, Amy, he goes, we're going to ask each one of you kind of what you do. He was like, and the kids, I want them to tell, you know, like what they do sports-wise, what grade they're in, what they love. He's like, and when we get to you, he goes, I want you to like tell the church about who you are, what you do in your business. And it was the first time in a church atmosphere that I was accepted as not just Josh's wife, that I was able to speak to who I am as a person. And It was a wild moment. Josh and I have laughed about that a lot since then, because it really kind of pushed me out of my comfort zone, and I never stopped saying it from that point forward. So I, funny enough, that is when I started telling people, like, I'm a wedding photographer. I had been published, Jess, and I still was telling people Amy. That I was a wedding. I know. Like, it, that's what I'm saying. Like, it was a confidence thing. And that season of life we were in, I think that there were things that possibly were being spoken over me at that moment in time too, that made me recluse a little bit to saying those things out loud. But yeah, I mean, it really freed me up. Atlanta freed my business up in a lot of ways, in a really cool way. So, which, you know, I met you there. So obviously it was a really cool experience.
I mean, obviously.
But yeah, that was probably when I really just stepped out of the zone and said, this is who I am.
Wow. I love that. So you mentioned, that sometimes photographers have different perceptions of them, which I will be honest, I'm guilty of that, because I'm in some mom groups. And so sometimes I see people who are like, oh, I'm getting into photography. And I'm like,
right.
In my brain, and I'm not just saying this, I'm like,
yeah,
I picture you, and I picture your work. And I'm like,
yeah,
I mean, you can try, but I'm going to compare it to Amy's work. So not that they're talking to me or I'm commenting or anything. And of course I'm like, you know, go for it. Try, like, you know, if you're something you're passionate about, but there's definitely.
Yeah. The market was not saturated when I started. Like, I think that's been one of the things that I have definitely watched unfold, because I have been in this line of work for so long now. I have watched it be a non-saturated market to an overly highly saturated market, where, you know, there are people that jump in because they think that it is a quick, a quick, you know, bang for your buck. But when you're doing it the real way, it is not a quick bang for your buck. And the amount of money that you may make takes an excess amount of work to get to the accomplishment and the final goal of anything that you do. That's my frustration all the time. You know, people think that it's literally, you snap a picture, you take it home, you upload it, you tweak it a little bit, and you send it off. It's just not that simple. And so it's definitely not something. If somebody asks me, should I go into it? I'm always like, let me tell you. It's depends. Not that I would discourage anybody, but I would be honest and upfront. You know, this is a little bit more work than a lot of people.
What are some other, like, misconceptions that people have either about photography, being a photographer, running a business, like things that get you on your soapbox?
Oh gosh. Well, people that jump in without practicing and want to charge a high rate, really, unnerves me. I mean, the first wedding I shot it for $500, and I probably shouldn't have even charged them that. You have got to start somewhere. You can't start at the top. And it doesn't even matter how good you are when you start, you still can't start there. And I wish that a lot of people in this line of work would pause and say, okay, let's not just build a money machine. Let's build the brand. Like, I wish people would stop and like pull that in. I also am not a fan of photographers. I mean, you can do whatever you want to do, but I am personally not a fan of photographers that don't show a part of their real life and their real self to the people that follow them and want to be a part of their brand. Because here's the deal. The thing that we do as photographers, we meet people in strange locations. I mean, I know that sounds so wild and weird,
but it's true.
But we do. And a lot of times we don't know those people. And the best way for them to get to know us is to communicate online. And that means by, you know, sharing your face, who you are, talking on stories, getting into a little bit of strategy a little bit when it comes to social media on those topics. But that's really how I grew my business. I talked online and told people my story. And I always want to tell them a part of me. Doesn't mean I tell everything there, but I do tell pieces of my story so that when people meet me in person, they know that I have three kids, or they know that, you know, we live where we live, or, you know, that we're traveling here. You just need to, you need to make your brand more relational. I think people that make their brand transactional, I think in the long run, it's just, it's not gonna last. And at the end of my business, the day that I say, you know, Amy Cole is closing, which could make me cry right now, but I still want my people to know that I loved them. And that is a part of a photographer's brand that I think sometimes photographers miss, because we are capturing real connection. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And if we're doing that, then we've got to have a real connection with the people that we're capturing. And so I'm real passionate about getting to know like my couples before a wedding day. I follow them. I make sure that I know their parents. Like, I try to look up their parents and see what they look like, so that when I walk up the steps to a bridal suite, I don't look and be like, "Are who's the mom?" I like being able to look, Debbie, it's you. Like, I've been so excited to meet you. I want them to feel important.
Yes.
Because honestly, I mean, I want to feel that way when someone is meeting me for the first time. It's always nice to feel that way. So,
yeah.
Big soapbox. That is definitely one of them for me.
I love
that
it.
Make this business transactional. So,
do you, because I know, like, obviously being friends with you, I know that all of that, what you just said, is such a huge part of what you do and like of just who you are. Do you have like brand core values like written out for your business? Like, I know some people do, some people don't. So, is this something that you've like, I don't want to say have formalized, because that sounds really too formal, but
I know what you're saying. I don't think that I've ever, I think I've always just had it in my head what I want it to represent. I mean, obviously, for the most part, I'm a one man band, you know, when it comes to this. Josh does second shoot with me, but that's pretty much his ownership in the business. It's making sure I'm taken care of on wedding day and that I drink water. And so, but it's always been to be authentic, to make sure that I show Christ in everything I do. Whether they're believers or not, I mean, you can be whatever you need to be, but I am going to show who I am, and I'm going to let that reflect. And then to obviously always put my best work forward for my clients that are paying me a substantial amount of money to do this work for them. There are times that I will shut a computer because I don't feel good or I don't feel well, because I know that I'm not doing my best work. And if I'm doing that, I will close my computer. I'm like, I can't do my best work while I feel like this. So I'm going to close it and I'll restart tomorrow when I feel better. So yeah, authenticity is a huge, huge core value of the Amy Cole brand. And I think anybody that truly knows Amy Cole as the brand, or even the person, me, would say that that is a huge part of what I try to do through the business. So.
And I think so many business owners get caught up in, oh, like, I need a website, which... Hey, you do. But website and choosing my logo and choosing my colors, and they think of the visual brand and they forget about the brand of who you are and what your business stands for and that personality. And because I mean, I can think of several different brands, entrepreneurs, and not even like the big gurus, but just like people that I know, and their brand, their persona online gives different perceptions. And some of them, I mean, obviously the ones I'm thinking of are people that I probably like. So they're giving off good things. I tend to not follow people I don't like. So, but I think, but I think that's something that we have to think about is, 'cause like for me, education is a huge part of my business. Like I want my clients to feel educated and empowered. And I've had so many people over the years, like typically on like podcast interviews or something, ask about like, well, you're like teaching people how to use their website. Then you're like working yourself out of a job. And I am like, I don't feel like I am. And I feel like this is important enough that it's something I need to keep doing. And so like that has become part of my brand to educate, to be generous with that. And not, and I mean, look, I still have people come to me monthly for updates. So I'm like, I can do all the educating and still some people are going to come back.
Yeah,
But
me, mainly me.
but I think whether it's being authentic, being generous, being funny, like whatever it is, I think that's something that a lot of people need to think about in their own business and like what, because sometimes like, I don't know about you, but when it comes to like coming up with content ideas or deciding, like, do I want to sign up for this thing? Am I going to like contribute to this bundle? Am I going to s lead this workshop? Am I going to, whatever it is? Like, sometimes it's an easy yes or no. And then sometimes I have to like think about it. And that for me, I always reflect back on like, does this fall in line with my what I value, what I want to stand for, what's important to me, like those kinds of things. And so your visual brand can't do that for you.
That's right. And it really can't. And that's the funniest part, I think, about Amy Cole. When we were trying to create the visual brand, that is, I sat for hours when we were developing those things. And all I kept saying is, I have to make it has to reflect who we are at core. And if you look at the logo, it has specific meaning to it. There are three lines that intersect. And for us, that is the Trinity. As we think about, the way that our lives, for us personally, that's the way our lives are focused. And each one has a circle, and it stands for the core things in my life, my family, my our ministry, my marriage. And also, I'm sitting here going, and my friends, I was like, hold on a minute, I remember. And then at the center is always Christ for us at anything we do. And so as I was starting to develop this and I was starting to kind of weave through it, I was like, you know what brings me calm and comfort? Blue. Like, that's when I
I
think
was
about
going to
that
ask you
color.
about the blue.
Yeah, that's where it came from, because I was really, this was shortly after we, shortly before we moved to Atlanta. I really kind of did this rebranding process. And I was like, because I was not a lime green and aqua girl, so I had to figure something out. And so that's kind of how it developed. I put several different colors together, and I was like, as I was working through it, I was like, okay, help. I would ask Josh a lot, help me, what do I reflect? I want the colors to reflect who I am. I don't want to reflect what the colors are. I want it to be reversed. Like, if I'm going to develop a brand, I want it to speak. And funny enough, when I switched that brand over, like, people to this day will send me random. Josh ordered me a hard drive the other day, and like, look at this. It's blue.
It's Amy Cole
Like,
Blue.
it is. And that's what everybody calls it now, which is so comical to me. Like, that, but I'll get pictures from people. Like, they'll be in a store and they're like, oh my God, you need this shirt, it's Amy Cole Blue. Or you need this chair, it's Amy Cole Blue. Like, people send me stuff in the mail. They're like, we've got you this thing, it's like Amy Cole Blue when you needed it. And I think that's a testament to, if you focus hard on who you are as a brand before you do the brand, you'll know when it hits, you'll know it identifies with who you are as a person. And I think sometimes that's where people get it. They get it twisted. They get it backwards. They don't know who they are yet. And so they tried to brand something that they're not completely aware of, of who they are. So,
yeah.
I know you can speak a lot to that.
I could go on a whole other rabbit trail with that. But we're going to talk about Amy today, so I'm not going to do it.
You're next.
I am next. So I know you've done some destination weddings and you travel some for photography. So do you have a favorite place that you've been?
Yeah. Okay. So it's always very hard for me to choose from these two because they by far are two of my favorite things I've ever done with this business. So the first thing is we got to travel to Rhode Island and shoot a wedding. The CEO of FIMU, her daughter was getting married. And at that point I was on staff at FIMU doing social media strategy for them. And I got to go to Rhode Island and shoot a wedding in Providence. And it was magnificent. It was glorious and so beautiful. One of the bridesmen, she had a bridesman, and he is a Tommy Hilfiger model. So I was like, this is so much fun. Like, it was just so much fun.
Fancy.
It was very fun and different for me. You know, it showed me in a season where I needed kind of like that next step. It was kind of like the next part of the season. It kind of was like, okay, you can do this, Amy. Like, you just totally did that. And then in August of 2021, we shot a wedding in Keystone, Colorado. We shot a 2-day wedding. We shot one that was an Indian wedding. And then the next day we shot the American wedding, the Christian wedding. And it was up on a black diamond slope at the top of Keystone, Colorado. I mean, it overlooked like it was glorious. We could not breathe. Josh and I were both like, we were like sucking wind the entire time. But man, it was those two places by far have been the most fabulous things we've ever done with this business. It was just, it's just cool when people trust you enough to fly you somewhere to shoot something. I'm like, this is pretty cool. This is really cool.
I love it. Let's do some rapid fire. Either or.
Okay.
Canon or Nikon?
Canon.
Outdoor or indoor wedding?
Outdoor.
A winter or summer wedding?
Winter.
Oh, really?
That will surprise people.
Dancing at the reception or no dancing? Do people even not dance at a reception?
I'll shoot straight. If there's no alcohol, they don't dance. I've probably only been to 5 weddings that had dancing when there was no alcohol.
Our wedding did not have alcohol and we danced. Everyone danced. Like,
that's amazing. Because that is truly not normal. I don't know what the deal is. I don't get it. But if there is no alcohol, then there's typically just a very dry dance floor.
Yeah. Large wedding or tiny? Like, I'm going to say tiny as in like the new trend of like kind of almost elopement style weddings.
I love both, but if I had a preference, I'd go with tiny.
Nice.
I love when it's at the couple and not everybody but the couple.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Bird seed, bubbles, or fireworks?
Bubbles. Bubbles. Rose petals is actually my favorite.
Oh.
Rose petals.
I forgot.
Rose petals
or
confetti cannons. Those are my two favorites, actually.
Mm.
I would rather eat something disgusting than have sparklers at a wedding. My hair is almost on fire many times.
I've heard you talk about that.
I drunk people.
Yeah. Okay. Cookies, cupcakes, or wedding cake?
Wedding cake.
Mm. Do you have a favorite flavor of wedding cake?
I love the natural, real, tiny bit of almond flavoring wedding cake.
Mm.
It is nice. Hands down my favorite. It does not matter what type of diet or weight loss plan I am on. I break it at every wedding to eat a piece of wedding cake.
I'm trying to think. I don't know if any is are there any other either ors that like you feel like are popular in the wedding world that people are like on one end or the other?
Short veil or cathedral veil. That would be a big one.
What's
Cathedral
yours?
veil, always.
Oh yeah,
Cathedral
because
veil.
you do the beautiful veil photos.
Yes. And if you have a short veil, you don't give those.
You
And when
can't.
you
You can't.
can't do it, it's like you're like pulling down. I mean, it we try. I'll give it to us. We try. But because everybody's always like, oh, we love the veil pictures. I'm like, well, honey, ew, you bought
Then
the
you
wrong
should
veil for the I probably should just start carrying a makeshift veil around with me so I could like pull it out of my bag and be like, well, here you go. But when you veil, the big deal is a lot of people don't understand this. You really need a veil that doesn't have like lace or linings around it. You need a very soft, floatable veil. So you don't want it to be heavy. A lot of brides go for these very heavy veils that like have lining down them. Don't do it. Pearls are fine on a veil. We love a good pearl veil because it's not heavy. But if you have that heavy lace like trimmed at the bottom of your veil, it's not going to float or fly. And you're not going to get the floating, flying Amy Cole picture that everybody wants. Girl, I had a short veil. If you look at me for my wedding, I was like, what was I thinking?
I didn't have a lot of lace. I had very little lace, but it was my grandma had so, like made my veil,
Okay, well, I think I would excuse that. That's sweet.
and I do have a veil picture. It's not nearly as good as yours, but I do have a veil picture, and it did float.
Float. Okay. I love a good floating veil picture. And Josh Solins is the bomb.com at floating veil and train kick pictures. We do a lot of like fun, like creative, artsy, where the train is kicked in the air and stuff, fun like that. And so he, man, that dude can float a veil and kick a train like nobody's business. That sounds so weird coming out of my mouth. Float a veil.
I love
I know if people don't know what we're talking about, I'm like, yeah, I shot them. Or
it though.
I have to check myself sometimes when I'm around people. But yeah, I would say the veil thing is a big deal. And then obviously, bridesmaids' colors, the dresses. I just always tell people, go for something that you're going to look at in 20 years and be like, okay, that's still okay. But like, I'm not regretting that decision because I have a lot of brides that are like, what was I thinking? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking either when I got there. So yeah. I think that would be probably, I mean, that's pretty close.
Anything we didn't talk about photography or any final like wedding advice or business advice? That's two totally different pieces of
I know, I'm
advice.
like, wedding or business? Wedding advice would be if you love a vendor, it doesn't matter what type of vendor it is, whether it's a photographer or florist or whatever, book them fast and early. And I would just say to you, my advice is if you really love them and you already have a date, you can book them before you have a ring because that happens a lot. We get that a lot these days, and a lot of vendors do. So don't be scared to reach out to your vendors before that happens if you are anticipating something like that. Because vendors in the wedding industry, we get booked up really easily, especially ones that have been professionals for a while. Yeah, wedding, make sure you get a photographer that you love, whether it's me or somebody else, because you spend all day long with a photographer. You don't spend all day long with your groom or your bridesmaids or your parents or the wedding planner or the florist, all these things that you book, but you do have to spend all day with me from the top of the day to the very, very last second. And so you definitely want to make sure you connect and vibe with your photographer. If you do not, it ends up being a huge regret. So make sure you vibe with them. Stuff, I would just say, make sure you're doing it the right way. Make sure you're doing it the right way. Make sure you're utilizing all the tools that you have for free to market. And, if you are not doing well on social media, then that's a problem. And you probably want to look at our other business to talk about that. But
Before we wrap up, so please tell us about your second business. that we did not get to talk about today.
Yeah,
and also
you're a part of that one.
Kind of. And then make sure we know where to check out your photography, follow you on Instagram. Let's remind people of that.
All the things. Okay. So UpCrowd Social is a rebrand of Amy Cole Creative, and UpCrowd Social is a social media strategy agency. And we also help people do websites. Thank you, Jess. She's created a couple websites already for us. We're excited.
I have.
And, so we basically can either run your accounts for you, or we can teach you how to run your accounts and create content and strategy. And so, yeah, we do that on the other side of the world of photography. It's kind of wild. You can follow UpCrowd at UpCrowd dot like period social. And that takes you to there. And then Amy Cole Photography is just that at Amy Cole Photography.
Nice.
You can follow me there.
I love
Come follow along, peeps.
Yes.
You'll get to know me better.
She is super fun to follow on social. So I highly recommend it if you're not already.
Thanks, Jess. Yes. That's how we met.
It is. Okay. Well, thanks everyone for listening and learning all about our Amy.
Our personal brands. I love you, Jess.
Love you too.